couple of minutes after 8 o'clock. And, you know, the people at Forbes each year put out awards for best in-state wealth advisors. And they also have an award for top women wealth advisors. Well, we are fortunate to have the recipient of both. WealthWise Financial's Laureen Gilbert is with us for the WealthWise moment this morning. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about with Laureen. Welcome, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here. And yes, we always have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. It seems that when in that brief minute or two before we actually go on, we crowd that minute or two. I realize, wow, this went by really fast here. So, yeah. ton of stuff happening today. As you know, we'll start off with the president preparing for the first joint address to Congress, where he's expected to unveil the $1.5 trillion human infrastructure plan. That's going to come. It's going to have to be paid for maybe by closing some tax loopholes. And that includes the carried interest loophole that might finally disappear. Can you tell us what that means for investors?
Sure. So what we expect to hear this evening is a broad-based plan that's going to cost about $1.8 trillion, which includes tax increases. Some people will benefit and some people will lose some of those tax benefits. And what you're talking about on the carried interest is that applies to private equity and hedge funds as part of their compensation. And right now, they are able to get a favorable taxable situation on that amount of money versus it being categorized as ordinary income. And that certainly has been a loophole that I think should have gone away in the last tax reform, but was protected. And I do think that this time it will go away. And so what does that mean? That means for hedge fund money managers and private equity firms, it just won't be as profitable for them. So they'll have to pay more in taxes. That's what that means. But there's also other tax loopholes that are being addressed in this, and that has to do with S corporations. So S corporations, as many small business owners are structured as an S corporation, this would be very detrimental to small business. So right now, on a small business, you probably take W-2 wages, but your excess net income comes to you in a K-1 through that S corporation to you personally. And this would include now that 3.8% additional investment tax would be applied to income over $400,000 for anybody structured as an S corp. I do think that there's going to be a big battle on that one from small business advocates like myself and many others who are going to indicate how much that would hurt small business. So we'll see where that one goes. This proposal would also increase the individual tax rate at the top from 37% to 39.6% for anybody making more than $1 million. And it would also change capital gains to a marginal tax system so that instead of being favorable at that 20%, it would look more like your marginal taxes, so it would go up to 39.6. It also would change upon death, any unrealized gains right now get a step-up in basis. It would get rid of the step-up in basis except for an exemption of $1 million and still give people $250,000 each on their homes. But that has a huge impact. So let me tell you what that means.
Okay.
That means your average person in Laguna Beach who owns a home, an elderly person, let's say, who's kept their home and, you know, bought it for $50,000 and now it's worth $1 million, each person will only have a $250,000 step up, only $500,000 for a couple. And if you're single, it's only $250,000. Huge tax implications to the beneficiaries if that were to happen and you lost that. So I think there's going to be a big battle on that one as well. So those are a few highlights. The other thing I'll mention, though, is all I'm talking about is federal. So all I've just mentioned is federal. You add on to that state taxes, you know, people in California are looking at more than 50% being taxed. So it will be devastating for many people. Now, what do I expect out of this? If all of this happens, and by the way, even if it doesn't happen, you've got business owners who've been thinking about selling their business. 2021 is the year to sell. If you're a business owner and you've been thinking about selling, or you think you might want to sell in the next 3 years, it's all going to be pushed into this year to try and get it done before capital gain increases, before all this S-Corp distribution stuff, before all of that happens. I expect a lot of M&A work to be done in 2021, or those same business owners are going to need to wait probably more than 4 years when maybe another administration comes in and the tax code changes again. Why did they not address in here estate tax? Because in all of this, even though they're addressing step up in basis, they're not looking at changing the overall exemptions. The reason for that, Ed, is that it reverts back in 2026 anyway. So that was a battle that they didn't want to face now, and they know it's going to revert back anyway. So why use your capital on that one? Use your capital on trying to get the rest of those things done. And the other big impact, Ed, is going to be on commercial real estate. With the 1031s being hit, commercial real estate has already been hit so hard in the pandemic. It's going to hurt the entire commercial real estate industry business, with exchanges being limited. So I expect that to be a big battle. And then I'll just say in a final comment on all of that, as part of this bill, there's money for the IRS to hire and double their workforce for auditors. The administration believes that they can enforce better and capture more tax dollars through audits. So individuals and business owners can expect many, many more audits, double the amount of audits going forward on their taxes.
There's $80 billion and more authority given over the next 10 years to help crack down on tax evasion by high earners and large corporations that are guilty of it. I'm imagining that they're wanting to root this out. What are you doing with your clients to prepare them for some of these changes that could happen to the tax code?
Yeah, thanks for asking. We are actively talking to clients about taking capital gains this year. This is going to be a year to realize gains. Now, also, you know, from a market perspective, you're going to have a lot of selling and profit taking off of some of those companies that have done so well, with the idea that people are going to want to realize their capital gains taxes in the year 2021. That can end up having downward pressure on those stock prices as people take profits. So it's a matter of figuring it out, probably doing it sooner rather than later once everybody starts figuring this out. So if people are going to take gains, it's time to do it now.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
And then I'll also add the other thing that we're working with clients on are the tax strategies that will help them going forward with all of these tax proposals. So for the business owner, we've talked about before, Ed, the benefits of a cash balance plan. And with these new tax proposals, this is going to be even more favorable for business owners to be implementing and maximizing those cash balance plans to reduce that net income number, that K-1, that could be taxed at a higher rate.
Okay, so you're going to have a busy year ahead of you. I see it coming.
It is busy. It is going to be busy.
I see it happening. So I'm reading that economists predict that the U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 6.1% in the first 3 months of the year, and that's faster than the 4.3% recorded at the end of 2020, but of course slower than that enormous 33.4% jump we had in the second quarter of 2020, obviously, when the economy started to reopen. Please explain for me an annualized rate and how we come to an annualized rate. How is that figured out?
Sure. So we track GDP quarter by quarter, and we look at it as a year-over-year annualized number. And so what that means is if you took the last four quarters and you roll it That's an annualized rate of return. So you're averaging the four numbers from the four quarters, and every quarter we look at that annualized rate, which is simply just four quarters added up divided by four. Okay. That becomes your annualized number.
Okay. It's like when in third grade when she taught me division. I'm like, all right, I get it now. I get it now. Thank you.
Four quarters divided by four, to get that annualized rate.
Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, I learned division in first grade, not third. I should mention that. So we heard that Alphabet, Google's parent company, said that profit had more than doubled in the first quarter as online advertising and cloud services remained strong during the pandemic. And of course, Microsoft said its first quarter earnings had jumped by 44% thanks to cloud and office workspace software. So today, all eyes are now on Apple and Facebook. They're going to report earnings after the markets close. What are we expecting to hear from them?
Well, Ed, I think that this quarter of earnings is going to be the highest on record on earnings. So Q3 2020 was the highest that we had seen. And now I think Q1 2021 is potentially going to beat that number. So in Q3, we had 84% of the S&P 500 beat expectations. So far, we're on track with 86% exceeding expectations. And this is a huge week on earnings numbers because all the big companies, the FANG stocks, were reporting this week. And like you mentioned, we've already seen. So what we've seen so far are that cloud and online have been some of the big movers. So when it comes to Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, those are the three large companies that are competing for more cloud market share. And Google has had a much smaller market share than the other two, and they're trying to catch up. And the numbers showed that they're moving in that direction. Plus, like you said, the online advertising. And so what we're going to hear probably from Facebook is a similar story on the online advertising. That's a huge part of their revenue. And remember that they own many different companies, Facebook does. And and we've talked about that it might end up splitting up some of those companies. And that company is very valuable. If you look at the individual companies that they own, versus the sum of their parts in Facebook, the individual companies are worth more than actually Facebook is altogether. So I expect to hear similar stories with Facebook and Apple of exceeding both on revenue and earnings per share numbers. So once again, I think it's just a fantastic earnings season. And what's great about that, Ed, for investors to understand, we've had extended PE ratios, price to earnings ratios. And what we need to see is earnings catch up to price. And so I think that's what we're getting this quarter, which will then be the catalyst to keep the markets going. As we hear guidance, and that's the most important part, is to hear guidance from these companies going forward, because guidance is what was missing last year, and guidance is what we're hearing about now.
Okay. All right. Last week, right after we talked, investors were weighing the news. Strong corporate earnings were offset by higher grocery prices and rising numbers of global coronavirus cases. So we saw solid corporate earnings weighing favorably, while inflation expectations weighed unfavorably. Yet the rising numbers of COVID-19 cases around the world tipped the scales. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so what I'd say is, and what we expect to continue to see, is that inflation is here, and it's real, and it's higher than we've seen in the more recent past. We were having a hard time getting inflation to move up. Now we're seeing it move up somewhat intensely, and where you can really see that are housing prices, especially. So we've seen the year-over-year, we just got the numbers this week, was 11.9% year-over-year increase in prices in housing, and that's a national number. That's a huge increase. And what we've also seen is that certain stocks that could increase their prices, you know, companies that could increase their prices have done so. We heard UPS this week had a price increase of 10%. We heard Sherwin-Williams had an increase in sales 12%. So when we look at those numbers, those are in line with the housing as well. And what I expect to see is continued pushing up of prices and passing that down to the consumer. So the consumer so far has the money and is resilient to continue to spend. And then with everything, when things become unaffordable, things can turn around. So whether it's housing or purchasing goods, right now there is enough affordability. But as inflation continues to potentially go up, prices continue to go up in accordance with that, there will come a point when consumers cannot keep up with it. So it's, you know, we'll see what the Fed says today. The Fed is going to be speaking. I expect the Fed to be continue to talk about their accommodative positions, and we'll see what they say about the purchases. But of course, while they're not, while they're saying they're not worried about inflation, and while they're saying they're not going to raise rates until 2023, my expectation is that they're, at some point they're going to change their tune, and we may see Fed rates increasing in 2022 instead of 2023 to kind of bring that down a little bit and try to combat inflation. But right now, I think they're going to sit tight.
Right. Okay. So if I've got a company and I'm worried about the changes in the tax codes and I need to prepare for this, how do I get in touch with you? Where do I find you, Laureen?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
She's the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, the Forbes Best in State Wealth Advisor and Forbes Top Women's Wealth Advisors. Laureen Gilbert, we thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show.